Welcome, weary traveller, to the Downbeat Podcast. It's me, the guy from the Downbeat Podcast, who you might like, actually. Quite a lot of people dislike me. But if you're listening to this and you dislike me, that is mental. You should be listening to anything else, basically. What have I been doing? Working incredibly hard. That's it. Podcast. I think I've got 8. Recorded, 3 cameras, 4K, sweet guests, sweet chats, sweet quality. I really need to pay an editor. If you're liking these, if you're liking the way they look, if you're liking the way they sound, patreon.com/thedownbeat. I got an extra special little plug for you on this episode. My guest this week is Jack Bergin from Void of Vision. We did this very, very special. If you're not watching this on YouTube, you're a fool. If you're just listening to this, I'll try and do it justice. We did an incredibly limited special Downbeat variant of Void of Vision's 3 EPs. We put them all on 1 LP with insane death metal artwork by Koki Greenway, who did the previous Downbeat collabs with Stray From The Path. The death metal artwork is, I mean, their EPs are called Chronicles. We've just called it Chronic, with a tiny little ulls. And the art is like a crazy weed monster killing loads of Australian things. It looks absolutely crazy. It's my finest unhinged work. And on this podcast, we go into my thoughts behind making such a deranged piece of art. We go through Jack's, I guess you say, battle or ongoing situation with alopecia, with a blood clot in his brain. I think I talked about pegging. We talked about horny goth stuff. A pretty insane story about them getting their visa. A bunch of cool stuff. It was a great little chat. I didn't really know him before this, and now I'd like to call him a friend. He's a great guy. If you want to pick up a t-shirt, www.thedownbeat.at, so that spells Downbeat. We've got a US store by this point. If you're watching this on YouTube again, I'm wearing a lovely thing. Trying to still bridge the gap between only talking to the video people. And I know there's a lot of you on the audio, so I'm trying to not be annoying. Display, we've got a plug display. All these things support me. Disclaimer, you buy the Void of Vision thing at unfdstore.com/voidofvision, I get a little bit of money from each one sold. Not that I have to explain myself to you, but I also got a little bit of money for doing it anyway. Guess what else I get a little bit of money for? If you go and buy a display, a metal poster that you can mount on your wall with a magnet at display.com and you use the code Downbeat, I get a little bit more money from that as well. It's bloody lovely for me, money. It means I can put more into this. Huge guests coming because now everyone wants to come. Anyway, stop plugging. It's been 5 minutes of plugging. It's Jack Bergin, a Void of Vision, on the Downbeat Podcast.
Kill me.
Perfect start.
We're 44 minutes late. I've been rude to the rest of your band. The camera's broke. We fixed the cameras, hopefully. If you're watching this on YouTube, it was fixed. I'm here with Jack from Void of Vision.
We're here.
Who've just learned he's not playing Glasgow, it's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Is it the Mash House?
Yes, that actually is it. Is that it, Tom? Mash House? That's the one.
Then you fucking rocks.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's a little shoebox, isn't it?
Little shoebox of shit. But
that's where we were last
night. The crowd's fucking mental.
Well, that's it. Like, one person in these rooms moves, the rest kind of has to.
Is it sold out?
Yes.
Of course it is. That's the other thing. Edinburgh's music scene now.
Is it? Because it's all art there at the moment, isn't it?
Always sold out. I think it's 300 cap that room. Always fucking sold out.
That's good to see.
What's the tour?
It's Holding Absence, Void of Vision. They're doing like just old catalogue, kind of small regional shows, just UK. So there's no Europe, no nothing. And we got the offer and we're kind of like, could do mainland. But at the same time, the idea of like 2 hour, 1 hour drives between every show, it's pretty insane.
What?
Late checkout every day.
Yeah. And you can do a podcast that's 44 minutes late without anything going wrong.
Exactly, we can
squeeze this in. That's a long way to go. For how many shows is it?
16, and then we've got
16 UK shows.
I know. And then we've got the two headliners on the end.
So good, just good for them, though.
I know. And it's like maybe one or two not sold out. And yeah.
16.
Good track record.
I need to pull up where they're going.
Some of these places.
There's not 16. No offense to my UK brethren. There is not holding absence. I don't know if I've got holding absence blocked. I think I have beef with them. we squashed the beef.
You squashed the beef.
Did this beef not come out on the tour at all?
No.
Tom, you must know about this beef. Huh? My beef with holding absence.
Not really, no.
Not really. So he does.
Whispering.
I had some beef with him, but it was fine. It was a thing on the internet
beef, so it's not
one of them meant to post something from a burner account and accidentally did it from the band account, and it was about me. It was a holding absence and it was a meme, and it was like Craig Reynolds on the internet today, and it was a baby crying.
I actually mentioned this last night.
You mentioned it, so you know about it.
No, the baby photo, that's where on, like, I was mentioning I was coming on tomorrow, and they're like, oh,
but you know what, to my, I know what it was, right? Yeah. It's because let's get into it. And also, can I please tell you, if I'm talking too much, what I want you to do is interject and talk over me.
Okay.
Because
power play.
The listeners of this podcast that I love,
yes,
are all subscribed on patreon.com/thedownbeat, which is only a pound. Everyone else that just listens to it or watches it can't figure out if I talk too much or I don't talk enough.
But that's what they're on it for, realistically.
Well, apparently not. Some of the comments are like, you fucking talk too much.
Well, the Patreon people are on it for that.
And they are the people that are really fucking nice.
And the Craig stands.
So I'll tell you this story and then we'll talk about you for the rest. Then you'll talk exclusive about you for the rest of the thing.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I need a producer to pull up the dates so I can laugh exactly at which cities they're playing. So for the record, I don't have beef with holding absence anymore. They're very squashed. Good. They're a very good band. Squashed beef.
Insane.
The beef was someone, obviously, there was bigger fucking things happening in the world at the time. It was BLM, George Floyd. Stray did a charity shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Someone on the internet started being very annoyed at the cost of shipping for the charity shirt. And I fucking smoked this kid on the internet. I was like, fucking this for charity, you fucking idiot. Like, admittedly, probably in the worst headspace of my entire life at that point. And I'm pretty, as you've seen today, I'm pretty bad with stress.
Stress management skills.
I'm terrible with it.
Yeah.
And then one of holding absence, so it was a big thing. And one of holding absence, it was actually Ash the drummer. I know this.
Okay.
But we squashed the beef. Like, he's good. A lovely guy.
He is.
Very tall. Didn't realize he was that tall.
They're a mammoth band.
Mm.
It's insane.
And like,
very tall boy.
Giant. He was supposed to post it from his burner account, which was funny in the first place.
Like a meme account.
Yeah, like a meme account. Craig Reynolds on the internet today, which is a crying baby face. Mm-hmm. And it was accidentally posted from holding absence. And what I must apologize for, it was literally during... I was also going off on one about the George Floyd thing.
Yeah.
About police killing this guy.
Of course.
And I retweeted holding absence's thing. And I said, I didn't know holding absence support the murder of an innocent man. And then that was when it was like deleted. I got a message from, I was like, oh, we're really sorry, bro. And I was like, fucking got ya. I knew they didn't fucking mean that.
Oh my goodness.
And then we squashed the beef and it's fine.
Exactly. No, they've been very lovely. But that is very funny.
And then, oh, do you know what? Faisal from Love, Tom, sorry, we've got Tom off camera. We've got Tom, who is on camera, but off camera, doing photography and stuff for you. Faisal liked the tweet, and then I hated Faisal from Love for a bit. And then I realized I was being petty. And then I let you stay at my house. But I think Faisal still doesn't like me, even though I've squashed the beef. Tom? that's a yes. If you didn't hear that because of the noise gate, if you didn't hear that because of the noise, yeah, I think you're all right. Well, he stayed at my fucking house when he needed a place to stay.
That's
I like
him for the record.
I like everyone for the record. I've got a new year, new me.
New year, new persona.
So, how many dates in are you?
We're 6 dates in. So, 6 last night, 7 today.
Can you reel them off? Do you know where they were?
It was Exeter, Oxford, Leicester.
Yes.
Without order, it was Sunderland last night. There was.
Oh my God, Lincoln. You played the Independent.
Yes.
Has it still got carpet floor?
Yes.
How disgusting.
It's
is that?
Yeah. These are interesting venues.
This is like,
although some are quite flash from what I've, more than I expected, to be fair.
O2 Oxford Academy.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No.
I mean, that. Lincoln was really nice. It was like this really done up sort of larger scale venue, considering not many bands. I'm pretty sure like the only band from Lincoln is, what are they called? Is it Mudder Defiled?
I can't tell you. Sure, I don't know. Lincoln, Jesus. Exeter, Oxford, Leicester, Nottingham, Lincoln, Sunderland. I used to live in Oxford and I used to live in Nottingham. Sunderland, Edinburgh, Hull, Carlisle. Oh my God, you are playing. Have you ever played any of these places before? You ever been to Hull?
No.
One letter away from hell for a reason. Carlisle, Liverpool, Stoke-on-Trent, Bristol. This is literally like my old deathcore band routing.
It was a bit of a deathcore tour.
Where was the best so far?
Best was, honestly, last night was pretty rowdy. But first show in Exeter was surprisingly great. Just nice to kick it off.
I can't see because they're all sold out. Was it? I was going to say, was it the Cavern? But it wasn't. It says P.
No, it was a. Where was it in Exeter, Tom? It was like Phoenix. It's like this arts kind of center, and there was weird like little galleries in there. And I'm not too sure what they used that place for. To be honest, it was just all over the shop. Arts establishment installations. It was strange.
But I once stayed in Exeter after playing the Cavern. I don't know if the statute of limitations has gone again. Oh, he talks too much. Get fucked. Don't listen. on a tour, I'm not even going to say whose tour it was, and we didn't have a place to stay, and some random girl in the street let, and she was like, I'll let you stay at my house. It's just some random.
And you took her up on it.
And she was moving out the next day, and she gave us the keys, 3 bands, a whole tour, the keys to her flat that she was moving out of the next day, and we stayed in this flat.
And she didn't, and that was.
I can imagine she didn't get her deposit back.
I mean, what did she expect?
I know. Fucking
you're
mental.
Only going to have it. Yeah, that's not really a wise. Did she know it was bands?
Yeah, but that was like back in the day when you do a tour and you'd have nowhere to stay and you would literally just be walking in the street and go, sorry, you ain't got a place to stay, have you?
Don't mind if we just pop in.
It's like being homeless a little bit.
It really is. It's glorified homelessness.
Glorified good. Yeah, didn't mean it was anything like it. Obviously, it's horrible. You're not going to get me, guys. No one's going to get me.
It's ungettable.
No, I'm not even going to say it. That's fucking, because someone will get me. Do you want to go straight into the sort of, it's not a bought reason that you're here. We're going to get to it because actually the intro of this, well, I'll have already plugged it on the intro.
Oh, good.
Chronicles.
That's it.
3 EPs.
3 EPs.
What's the reason?
3 different EPs. So had the record essentially written or began writing and we realized this is like, I don't know, it's a lot to put this all in front of people. We're still a band who's yet to have like a coming of age moment or like a real proper land on the music industry. And I think just putting out an album of just everything that's on this without staggering it would have been a bit full on and not necessarily gotten the ears it deserved. Plus it was COVID and we wanted to kind of just like stretch things out because we didn't know when the fuck touring was going to be back. We didn't want to drop an album halfway through a pandemic and not be able to fucking take it around the world. So stretched it out and it kind of luckily just completed when international touring came back and we got to take it around.
So it was tracked as if it was going to be an album?
We tracked it. We pre-proed it as if it was going to be an album, but then kind of went in. So we basically wrote, recorded, released, wrote, recorded, released, wrote, recorded, released. So we had like the game plan essentially that we knew the first one was going to be heavy as balls. Second one's going to sort of head into a bit more of a dramatic flair. And then the third was just going to be all that EDM. And yeah, we kind of just basically went in with that game plan and then just wrote on the fly. And it was cool because it was like an exercise we've never done before and putting the pressure on ourselves, especially that third one, because all of a sudden touring came back and that necessary game plan didn't work as we expected it would, because when you're on the airport floor in Singapore airport sending back mixed revisions, that's not exactly the best spot to kind of fuck. Yeah, that's
my watch. Were you is that a real story, Singapore airport mixed revisions?
That's it. So our journey to get our visas for the United States was a bit fucked because COVID just kind of derailed every visa appointment, I guess. I'm sure you've had difficulties with this too, being from here. And basically we had to go to Indonesia to get our visas. So we went, all the consulates in Australia, in Melbourne, Sydney, etc., booked out. Next to bet was probably London, booked out. And we were trying to just fly to New Zealand or anywhere London. Close. Yeah. It was like the last appointments left on earth. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks out of US, no appointments, no visa sign off. And we're like, we're not going to go. Our lawyer comes through last minute with, we've got an appointment that's popped up for you. Are you ready for where it is? And we're like, shoot, we're just going to fucking do it. It's in Surabaya, Indonesia. And we're like, okay. And we've basically just thrown all the money on flights. We've headed over to Indonesia. Well, to be fair, it was myself first. We were all on separate different appointments like throughout the week.
Oh my God, you couldn't even make a little lad's holiday out of it.
Well, the other boys went to Bali while... Well, I went straight in the fucking deep end. I've gotten off at the airport, unsure of what this area of Indonesia is realistically like, because in my head I've just got Bali, Jakarta and all that type of things. And Surabaya is like not even a business district. It is something very strange that I wasn't really prepared for.
Even Jakarta is pretty fucking out there if
you've
never
been.
That's what
I mean. Yeah, like it's something else. And that was probably the first time I've gotten real culture shock. So basically I've hopped out at the airport, I've gotten into – oh, I booked like a – not a courier, I booked a driver to kind of take me to my hotel as soon as I've gotten out of the flight, but just had no idea where this motherfucker was. It was just not, and I've picked up a SIM card. I've gotten scammed for a SIM card at the airport, which is a great start.
Oh no.
1 gig of data ran out as soon as I got outside. Not one gig, 1 meg of data probably. And I've hopped in this taxi and the bloke's not really too familiar with the English language, and he's basically been taking me around and I've popped in the address. And I think the idea was behind, he didn't want to take the tollway, but he didn't communicate that very well by just like continuing on and ignoring every word that I said.
Mm.
And I'm kind of starting to stress out because I'm looking at Google Maps. I'm going the exact opposite way to the hotel and he just keeps driving at this stage. Oh, he's going the complete fucking wrong way. And I'm like, okay, this is definitely wrong. So I'm kind of just pulling out Google Translate on my phone and I'm like, pressing buttons and like trying to like, because I've obviously gathered that he's not really taking on any word that I'm saying. And I've kind of just resorted to putting stop in Google Translate and he just keeps rolling forward. And so I've got stop and I've pulled out the money next to it and then he's pumped the brakes. And then I've absolutely kind of just thrown him all the money that was left, like that I booked out. I think you have to pay for the Indonesian visa on arrival and I just had change. And I would have had to pay him anyway. So I've just dropped off on the side of the road.
What did you do?
I basically got, because there's these weird little stalls. Basically, it's so bizarre how this like town is set out. You have the airport and then all of a sudden it just turns into nothingness. No buildings. It's just little stalls, like little markets along the way. And there's ones that sell Wi-Fi there. And so I basically just walked along because I was kind of, yeah, I don't know. I was in like a state of just, it's kind of adrenaline weirdly.
Oh, yeah. I'd be like.
It was survival instinct.
Movie I'm in? Because even Jakarta is fucking like, there's some dodgy shit.
Oh, for sure. And I had that in the back of my head. I'm like, what's this guy? Is this guy going to just try to drive off with me? Doors were locked. And basically I'm like, do I need to like, and I'm sitting in the back too because it was still like COVID precautions or whatever. So I'm like, I'll be nice. I'll like just let this guy have it. I'm like, do I need to like hit this dude in the back of the head or something to make this car stop? Like, that's the first thing that popped in my head.
To jail.
Exactly.
Jail in Jakarta.
I'm not coming home. Not going to America then.
Again.
No visas.
Yeah, a couple of hands cut off.
Absolutely. But, yeah, basically, I've got my Wi-Fi card on the side of the road and I've booked the, what's it called, Grab, which is like the taxi service over, the Uber service over there. Gotten to my hotel, which was like an Ovo. You know how Wembley's that Ovo brand. So it was an Ovo. It's not anymore. It's just a completely faded sign out the front. They've like taken the sign off, pulled out, just dead cat in the front door, next to a trestle table, which was reception.
Dead cat?
Yeah.
Dead domestic cat.
Dead domesticated, no tail cat. Seems like no cats had any tails there. It was quite rough to look at.
Interesting.
And pulled up to reception, and it's just this bloke smoking a cigarette, and I'm kind of just wondering if this is the actual hotel. And he's like, oh, yes. And then he's taking me up to my room, no shower, no toilet, no TV, just pretty much a bed. And I'm sat in there, and I'm just sitting there basically of waiting because my visa appointment's the next morning. I smell like a foot because I slept in the Singapore airport floor the night before.
Oh. Was this... This was for the August tour?
Yes.
August 2022?
Yeah.
Who was that with?
August Burns Red, oh, We Came As Romans.
That's worth sleeping on the floor and then in some sort of hostage environment.
It was a good tour. But then, yeah, that night, lucky, well, no TV, no shower, no toilet, but they had Wi-Fi, which is great.
So you can wank. Every cloud. There's no way you didn't have a wank. Come on.
I did.
Yay!
And basically, we basically had, I don't know, our visa appointment the next morning. I've managed to message the guys because they were booked for that hotel too. I'm like, do not come here. Try and find somewhere else. They've tracked down this other place, which is a bit more central. It was near like the biggest mall in Indonesia. So it's a stark difference, 10 minutes down the fucking road.
Yeah.
And we've gotten there. And basically, I went to my visa appointment, shoo in. It was fine. Like, it was so funny. The final boss... I've just gone through because I've gone there to an Australian consulate and there's not an Australian person in sight. Yeah. And I'm just dealing with just all these Indonesian authorities and it's just people with guns everywhere and it's just really, really threatening. It's not a great aura around the place. And I've basically just rocked in and the final boss, the man who signs me off, he's like, oh, you're in a band. And he's the only American guy there. And then basically he's kind of quizzing me on heavy music.
Classic, the visa people.
And then he's a huge Christian metal fan. And he's asked if we've heard At The Gates and all this. And then he's absolutely...
Wait, At The Gates isn't Christian.
Actually, they're not, aren't they?
Probably the opposite. Yeah. I love Christian music. At The Gates. I assume it means gates of heaven, not hell.
He hasn't quite glued in.
Fucking read into it.
I just like the music.
That's so fucking funny.
It is good. And then he's just stamped away. And that gave me another adrenaline rush and I'm off to this brand new hotel.
What did you say? Like, because he would have said, does it sound like At The Gates? Or does he say anything like
that? Does it sound like Parkway Drive? Because he heard the Australian accent. And that was what got me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, you...
Boom.
Yeah.
You're getting you know, that.
Yeah, absolutely.
The best I've had is... the one that I always get like... Because I obviously, if I'm talking to a normal person, a GP, general public civilian, I'll say, you know Rage Against the Machine? And then I go, yeah. And I go, it's like that, but a bit faster and a bit scarier.
It's your border control story.
But no, border control. You can't say, do you know Rage Against the Machine?
The anti-government.
You know the band that's against everything that you do? Yes, we sound like them and we're pretty much like them. So for those ones, I'm like... Do you know Deftones? And they go, yeah, kind of. I was like, it's a bit like that. And it's like, there's like four riffs like that. Or they'll go like, oh, like Metallica. And I'll be like, yeah, like yeah, Metallica. Yeah, of course it's like Metallica. The worst one I had, right? And this was early in my like getting the visas. Because it's quite intimidating. It's quite early in my having to go to the US Embassy visa situation. They really do quiz you. It was actually at the border. Mm. And it was like just ask me a few questions. Oh, is it like Pantera? Is it like, and I was like, okay, well, this guy likes metal.
Metal.
And I was like, yeah, I guess it's kind of like Pantera. And he was like, what about Tool? And I was like, I fucking love Tool. Like, it's like one of my favorite bands. And he was like, have you seen the Me Too people are coming for Maynard? And I was like, this guy's a cop. And I was like, no, I haven't. And he was like, they're ruining everything, man. A police officer. And I was like, oh, all the stuff everyone says is true. Like, I was like shocked. And I was like, no, can I come in, please?
That's intense. Oh my God. So you're just having to sit there haphazardly, but just now, smiling along. Yeah.
Now I got the, whatever the big dick visa
is. The big boys, the big, O's.
Big dick
one. Which we luckily got too.
You got an O as well?
Yeah.
Fuck it. You know who it is? It's fucking UNFD. They're so sick.
And good at what they do.
Get that one, and when you go to the border, they go, oh, boom, welcome.
It's awesome.
They think I'm fucking a celeb. I fucking saunter in. I'm getting a little bit Billy Big Balls
on the Matt Damon visa.
Yeah, so, but not to derail. The thing, while it's still on that story.
Yes.
Because there's been some mad shit. Always, you know, not to tar them with a brush, but it's always in Southeast Asia. Like, the it weird shit happened.
Be. Yeah.
But usually I'm with the rest of the band, so it's funny. Yours just sounds terrifying.
It was terrifying until the boys got there. It was the biggest sigh of relief. I mean, I was great because, like, I got the visa stamp and all of a sudden I was on a bit of just a high. Like, I was just like, yeah, this is kind of great. And so we've gone and visited this biggest mall in Indonesia, which isn't that great. It's, I mean, plays the service. But, yeah, I don't know. The boys came in that night and they had their appointment the next day. And the thing was, oh, what happened? The guy was so excited about this concept of a heavy band coming to Indonesia to get their stamp signed that he didn't give me this receipt that there was a fee. There was like a printing fee or something that needed to be paid, like for it to go into your visa. And he was just so caught up in the moment, he kind of left without giving me that. And luckily, our fill-in drummer who we bought for that, he brought it up to this fill-in drummer and he's like, oh, I forgot to give your friend this receipt. Oh, so if he didn't fucking fucked. Grab that. And we missed the first three dates of that US tour because we flew straight there, straight in. So it wasn't great.
You went straight from Indonesia?
Sorry, it was like Indonesia, Melbourne for a few hours, then to America. But yeah, we missed the first three dates, dropped in on like show number three. And yeah, honestly, like that tour was well worth it because the weirdest part was it wasn't even A markets. It was like B, C, D markets, which seems to be an ongoing trend like this tour that we're doing. But
the people are post-COVID, I'll take a fucking B and C market of people.
Absolutely.
The whole thing in America for me is like flipped post-COVID. Like it used to be, I used to hate LA shows and I used to love Texas shows.
Texas shows are the fucking, oh, have you flipped now?
I've flipped and Texas is kind of shot and LA is kind of sick.
Interesting, because we didn't do LA at all.
Usually, historically, I've never played a good show there, but now for some reason people care. I don't know. I don't know what's happened.
Something switched.
And Texas, I love Texas as a fucking place. Like, yeah. I love it. Possibly like Austin, probably love it more than LA.
Yeah.
But the shows are like, I'm sorry we can't be Kublai Khan, all right? I think that might be the problem.
That's the issue. They're expecting more of that. But yeah.
Get this. Pull this up. Let's talk about this. So I've had a few people. All right, smash the place up. I've had a few people. If you're not watching this on YouTube, I've spent a lot of fucking money for you to watch it on YouTube. So watch it on YouTube. What we got here is, if anyone remembers, the Downbeat, which is the podcast you're listening to right now, did a special edition of Euthanasia by Stray from the Path. Where it was death metal artwork by Cokie Greenway, who's known to be doing artwork for bands like Aborted and stuff. And what we've done is we did a special one with Void of Vision. We're on the same label, and I like the band. So particularly, we'll get into it, but particularly the EPs, and we'll talk about why in a minute. But so when I got hit up by our label and was like, do you want to do another one of these collab things? And have you got any ideas? I was like, funny enough, and do you know what? The idea came to me in fucking 1 second.
You replied to that email within...
And I was like, well, I've got it. So
they're Australian. I've got it.
They're Australian. The album, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm going to hold it up. The album's called Chronicles, but our version here, which is all... the EPs are called Chronicles 1, 2 and 3, and they have little sub names. What we've done here is we put them all onto one vinyl, and the artwork in a death metal style is a giant weed monster. I'd watched Scary Movie 2 the night before, so it was like, it was immediate. I was just like, okay, I know what we do. Was it called Chronicles? Okay. Ours is called Chronic, and it says all's really small. And there's a giant death metal weed monster killing, what's his actual name?
Paul Hogan.
Paul Hogan, a.k.a. Yeah. Crocodile Dundee, some koalas, there's some boomerangs, there's some kangaroos, and my final one was empty bottles of fucking VB.
Fucking VB.
Fucking VB, you dog cunt. And some fucking alligators or crocodiles you got? Crocs. Yeah. And it's on. What's the official name of the colour?
Orange gelato,
which I can't remember if that was my idea or we all had the idea.
I think you had that idea from the...
And if anyone was burnt with the Stray from the Path one, which came and it was too hard to get out of its sleeve, this one's actually very easy to get out of its sleeve. And it's in orange gelato, which is orange and green. It's very nice.
It is.
Look at that. And it looks like bud.
It really does.
And got that spins around on it. It's a pleasure doing stuff with you.
Absolutely.
Especially because, right, we'll get into this.
Mm-hmm.
When your band used to come up,
yes,
back in the day, mm-hmm. No offense.
Oh, none taken.
Why does everyone hate me? I filed it under Sounds a Bit Like Architects, which is what I have to do quite a lot of the time.
It is true.
But what I'm learning is instead of me opening my mouth, which I didn't actually with you guys, label mates, get away with it. You just let these bands, because when I started a band, I think it's in my old age, I'm getting like more, I see the world in like a wider lens. So I'm like, when I started playing a band, it just sounded like fucking Sepultura. And if Sepultura had heard it, if the technology had existed for someone who was friends with Sepultura to hear it, they'd go, that sounds like fucking Sepultura. Fuck off, you fucking idiots. So like Polaris, you guys, even Bad Omens is more Bring Me, but like these bands that start heavily influenced, if you just shut your fucking mouth and let them get on with it, eventually they figure out their niche and you end up liking it because you like the other stuff, because I fucking love Architects.
Absolutely.
So the minute you guys got a little bit goth, I was like, what's going on here? Yeah. And then you got synthy.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm in. Historically, if you put...
Two and two.
If you put some synths in and some goth, I'm fucking in.
Cyber goth revival.
So, Chronicles, particularly Chronicles 2, pretty fucking gothic. Is Chronicles 2 the one where the first track's literally called Burgane?
Burgane, yeah.
Have you been?
No, George is born and bred in Berlin, and yeah, we just
has
wanted
he been?
To nod. I don't think he has.
She's
moved
been,
here when he
like,
was 16.
My girlfriend's been.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's been. She'll tell you some stories.
Because we had it lined up. We were coming out with Loathe last year. And there was a day, well, a night that was freed up. There was day off afterwards and it was like 10 minutes from the venue.
Yeah, it's so close to like Cassiopeia and all that stuff.
Yes, that's where we were playing.
It's literally around the corner.
Yeah.
So I've never been, but I've gone. Can I get you just move closer?
Sorry.
To the mic?
Yeah.
Sorry. I've never been, but I've gone and like just...
Checked
out the line.
Like, it's fucking insane.
If anyone doesn't know, Burgane is... I can't pronounce it in German. Is a... It's a fucking, essentially a sex goth industrial club in Berlin.
It's a monstrous idea.
And it's, you know, from what people that I know that have been, is like, it's just everyone's naked and fucking and going, like, doing fucking drugs and it's awesome.
Essentially. Yeah. It just sounds like, yeah, that's what we wanted that song to sound like.
And that's what, like, it's the same with, like, Rammstein and, like,
yeah,
that's the shit I love. Apparently, I don't know if this is actually true, but. Apparently in like the 90s, that whole street where all of that stuff is on.
Yeah.
Apparently in the 90s, like Rammstein bought loads of apartments in that place.
Nice trip.
And like essentially just like live off that and spend all of their money that they make from the band on the production of the band. And because they just make their money from living in these or owning these apartments on that strip. Might be a rumor.
It wouldn't surprise me. That band has the craziest, weirdest history. Like Till's
and they
fucking
spend a lot of money.
Yeah, Till's just history as a human being is fucking insane. So it wouldn't surprise me that, yeah, that checks out.
Isn't it weird that you can like? I fucking love that band, and I fucking love him. But like, if someone else came out with a song about abortions, like they would get fucking absolutely rinsed. And he's just like, you know, his solo project, the song that's literally about how I won't wear a condom, I will just abort the child, is fucking insane. I'm sure there's some like deeper meaning to it, but absolutely. I'm surprised he gets away with it.
It's insane. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like in this
song fucking rules, by the way.
That band just is, yeah, historically, everything they've put out just so, like, I don't know, politically heavily charged, it's always met with just not what, I don't know, it's like a cutoff for bands to release topics like that, I feel. It's a bit odd how it works.
He must be being clever about it. Also, for the record, I don't think it's fucking awesome for the actual thing. Just wear a condom if you're listening to this, basically. Consensual, wear a condom. Done. You can't get me. Incidentally, as well as not being able to get me, it's actually what I believe. But like, I feel like everything that they do has like a deeper political meaning.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just, with that song, I didn't really go into why. I haven't really checked it out.
I mean, he's like full author mode now. Like, just, yeah, he's poetry too, isn't he? Like, it's just a whole game for, like, I don't know. He's a big time artist. And I think because he's just so into the visual side of stuff too. Like, as you see in all the new Rammstein videos, it's fucking stupid. Like, it's the production
crazy.
Is,
it looks like movies.
Yeah, it's so insane.
The Deutschland video was like, I think it cost multiple millions.
Yeah, it blew my fucking mind. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Like,
I remember exactly where I was when it came out, actually. That's how groundbreaking. It was like JFK dying. Like, where were you when Rammstein released the Deutschland video? I was actually on Will Putney's sofa. Watching that, I woke up and Tom was like, have you seen the new Rammstein video? I was like, no.
And then pops it on.
Pops it on. It's fucking amazing. So, back to the Chronicles.
Of course.
Who's doing the synths?
James. So, he basically, this whole experience kind of stemmed from the album prior to this. We worked with John from Northlane on a few tracks.
I had a conversation about synths with John from North Lane sat in that chair about 4 days ago.
I can feel the
everyone's going to be like, why do you keep talking to Australian people about synthesizers?
Well, I'm about to bring in a British element too, because have you heard of a band called Modern Era from here? So Kel is a boy genius, and he's a lot more in the analog world, which John also dwells within. But we worked a bit with Kel on this Chronicle series with some of the synth work too. James kind of built a lot from scratch, but I think we're still learning how to incorporate the warmer sounds and just more like actually dialing in tones and that sort of dial. But yeah, we've basically kind of worked upon that, and we're building as that sort of band now. And I think like we're at the stage where touring is fucking expensive, and we would love to pay a session musician to come out and also hit parts. But yeah, we're just trying to work out how to incorporate in the set. I think headliners in Australia, it's no stress. It'll be so much fun to actually do it live and have James like taking a bit of a live producer seat on stage. But yeah, it's all just a matter of working out the live formation for time being. But yeah, James is the master genius behind all the synth work, and he knows what he's doing now. It's awesome.
Nice.
So we're having a lot of fun.
I think bands can either go one or two ways with the synth thing. Like, I think it's perfectly acceptable to have synth on a backing track. Like, you like it's money saving or whatever. But I really think it was Bring Me.
Yes.
When they got Jordan, and then fucking Can You Feel My Heart? Like, I didn't realize he was playing it on drum pads, and then I saw a video of it and I was like, oh my God, that's the coolest fucking thing ever.
Pretty sick.
And then everyone was like, oh cool, let's get to that point. Let's do it live. Like, you see Architects doing it live now and stuff.
That's it.
That's the dream. But like, everyone knows I have a fucking, I've got laptop beef, but our synths, we've got synthy bits now. We're dipping a synthy fucking toe in.
Yep.
And we ain't bringing a guy. There's not enough of it to fucking do it.
That's it. It's toeing the line. I think, like, I don't know. If we were to do it, I'd like to put a spin on it so it's not just another sort of Jordan Fish ripoff. Build like a hectic, like, kind of ghost kind of stage setup, have like an altar or something that he's got shit like that.
What's the deal with the goggles? Speaking of stage,
the goggles. So,
I love your stage shit.
Thank you, thank you very much.
I'll tell you this, I'm not going to Edinburgh, so I'm annoyed.
That's fair.
I thought he was in Glasgow, so I'm gonna go. I'm not going to Edinburgh, sorry.
totally understandable.
Draw the line.
I probably would.
Especially if holding absence might hate me. Go to be hated.
So the goggles started, it was kind of the gag, just void of vision type of blackout gag, and the whole just, I don't know, dominatrix vibe of everything. And we kind of introduced all the leather and the trimmings of such. And then basically as we released that first, the first EP, I started developing alopecia. So basically all the hair fell off my body.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was a style thing.
No, yeah. It's fucking crazy. So basically, when was it?
Wait a minute.
I'm mind blown. Give me the story. Sorry.
You're fine. So yeah, basically all the hair started falling off my body, and I was a bit like nervous at front, kind of just pulling that off at a level where basically you're in videos, you're live. And
do you know why?
No idea, to be honest.
Are you cool talking about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's like, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm nothing of the sort. And I know that there's side effects of the vax that we all signed off on.
Cancel trigger, ready.
But it did happen after the second dose of Pfizer. And I mean, if it happened, it might not have happened because of that. I went to my GP and to a dermatologist, and they couldn't dial it down. And
do you know what? I'm like in the same boat. I've got all of them. I've got all the vaccines. I've got everything.
Mm.
My girlfriend got a blood clot.
Yeah, funnily enough, also speaking of blood clots, not trying to top on to what already is also going on, but it was also January last year. So actually a year to the date today. So I woke up, well, I didn't wake up. I woke up in an ambulance. I basically had a nocturnal seizure just out of fucking nowhere.
I remember, I think I heard about this.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story.
Hit me.
So I basically woke up in the back of an ambulance, I've gone to hospital. My partner's like luckily been in, because I just moved into an apartment, and I would have been there by myself if she didn't come over that night. And basically she's called up the ambulance, I've been sent off, and this wasn't nothing to do with, well, I don't know, to be honest. But basically I was born with what's called like an AVM, and it's called an atrial vascular malformation. And it's basically a giant pool, or like a clot of veins in the middle of like where my brain is. And when they're all sort of pumping too hard, to the fact that they choke each other off, the regular like keep yourself awake function doesn't work, and it just puts you into seizure mode. And
is this the first time it happened?
First time it's ever happened. And they even let me know that I was born with it and everything, and it's just grown over time to the point where it becomes a bit of a danger. So basically they put me on this like really heavy epileptic medication, and to stop me having nocturnal seizures basically throughout the year.
What is it, gabapentin?
It was levetiracetam or Keppra. And basically I was just dosed up on that, couldn't drive, couldn't drink, couldn't have any of the fun stuff for about a year's end. And it's been a year now sober, which is fucking wild. But basically I've been kind of going through that and going through the loops of the public health system in Australia for a year now. And I've finally gotten to a point where they figured out they couldn't cut it out. So basically they just have to do the radiation therapy like three times this year and yeah, eventually clear it. But
so you've got to have radiotherapy.
Yeah. Which weirdly, like the side effect of that would be just this basically. So I'm already covered bases with the hair loss.
Fucking hell. So what's the prognosis with it?
Basically I need to get it out by the time the older I get, the worse it's going to get. So basically I need to tackle it as soon as possible. So it's basically me preventing myself from having seizures until that point, which was kind of scary, like going to America for the first time, because we didn't know what necessarily would bring this thing on. If it was like, I don't know, accentuated activity during the day, or like stress that kind of like alleviates it. I have a feeling alcohol might have been something to do with it, because I was like getting pretty blackout drunk before that, to the point where I'd pass out, and it hadn't really been a thing prior in my life. And I was wondering why that was happening, and then bam, that January happened. And
has it happened since?
No, luckily enough. My partner's probably got like scared the shit out of her that night. So she probably thinks like every time I twitch in my sleep that I'm kind of like about to gear up for another one. But yeah, no, that's I guess just living with that and yeah.
Change your outlook?
Yeah, big time.
In what way?
In the way that I kind of, I guess you can see the way how I dress on stage, how I perform and how I like put myself into the art now. It's just kind of, I've got to do everything that I want to do in my life now. What's the point of fucking waiting? You just got to do everything as soon as it comes because who knows what tomorrow holds really.
And the alopecia is completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated. I think that was...
Yeah, I thought I you were doing it for that. Style. Yeah. So if it means anything, you're pulling it off.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I literally said... I literally was looking for your Instagram before this and yeah. I was saying to my girlfriend, I was like, this guy's fucking cool. So I'm like, respect. You don't see many people like... Because in my head, it was like a Billy Corgan thing. I was like, you don't see people like committing to the fucking artist look.
That's it. Yeah, well, I was already shaving my head before that and then...
Maybe it was thrust upon you.
Perhaps. Just the... Yeah, I don't know. But whatever it was, honestly, weirdly enough, it helped me push myself even further out there. So kudos to the alopecia gods looking down on me because
it's serving your purpose. Do you care?
Not really anymore.
Did you care at first?
Yeah, absolutely. That was part of the goggles. We did a music video where my eyes were covered in feathers because I didn't want people to see I didn't have eyebrows.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
It was just small things like that for the beginning and like just doing the makeup to kind of hide it. But now I just don't give a fuck. It's just a part of me and it's something I'm going to live. I don't know. Like I could care, but I see no point to be honest. It's part of that new perspective, I guess. Like... Yeah, and it also helps with not caring what people think because it kind of translates into your art and how you present everything in your life and how you just act and carry yourself out in day-to-day worlds and, yeah.
Is the sober thing difficult?
Yeah. It was at the start, yeah.
Is it like you have to be sober?
It was, yeah, so the first 3 months just mixing, drinking, I think it was 3 to 6 months, I can't remember. I couldn't drive for 6 months, couldn't drink for three. But mixing this medication with the alcohol would have just like, yeah, just been messy. So I just thought, you know what, like I've wanted to give this a crack for a while, so this is probably the best time to do it. And then I've just kind of got to the 6 months and I'm like, I don't really feel like a beer. I've had all like the alcohol-free options and honestly, a lot of them are quite delicious.
Some of them, they're killing it. It's crazy what they're doing.
And I've found within this year, it's only getting better. And yeah, I had a BrewDog run the other night, I think, and it was really nice.
Yeah, and Brooklyn's got a good one.
Yeah.
Special effects.
Yeah.
Pamela, what do you want? Do you want to be on the podcast? Come here.
A little mention.
If you're not watching this on YouTube, you can hear a little tiny little doggy. What we're doing, right? Can you see this part of her hair here that's really long? That one, which we like to dread. That right there. So... We usually shave her. I say we. She usually shaves her. And what we did is we left one bit to see how long her hair would grow if we didn't shave her. And that's how long. So now we're just going to let her grow and just see she turns into some little fucking furball.
Little gremlin.
Furball thing. Before I was rudely interrupted by a lovely dog. Another point.
Yeah.
About, I can't fucking remember. What are we fucking talking about? What are we talking about?
Something about being bald.
Yeah, stage. Beer.
Alcohol-free.
Alcohol-free beer. Yeah. They make good alcohol-free beers.
Absolutely.
Any weed?
No, so like I just cut everything out and I was just...
I feel like I could really do with doing that.
It was... I was honestly amazed. Honest to God, like I've never felt... It's just brain fog be gone.
Is there all any side effects from the medication? / is there any pros? Because the reason I said gabapentin...
Yes.
Because... I've had gabapentin before, which was prescribed for fucking restless legs of all things that are not an actual fucking disease, but they are. But I used to get, and sometimes I still get it really, really bad restless legs. And they put me on gabapentin for a while.
Okay.
And it was also like, it can help with your anxiety and it because of the way it works. There's kind of a conspiracy that it's the new Oxy. In terms of...
Interesting.
They are prescribing it for everything.
Okay.
And it's quite difficult to come off. But I remember when I was on it, it was kind of like having two beers. It was like... So I feel like for me, I just drink to take the edge off life because there isn't an antidepressant or an anti-anxiety
100%.
Medication that I like.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'll just have a couple of beers and deal with it.
That's it. And that was usually my go-to as well. And now opposed, I'm just raw dogging life, just trying to smash through, which was, it was interesting. It helped me build like, it just, I don't know, I can actually do things like, I don't know, life admin now. And I can sort of develop myself as a person and a human being without like just the brain fog, which I found from drinking and just drug use. And I don't know, it's just, it's super nice to see the other side and what it is like. Because without this scenario popping up, I probably would never would have tried because it's just too much fun. And that's what I found. Like I was probably, I don't know, if it's a year on, I'd have a beer just to see if I missed it. But yeah.
The thing is, the alcohol-free ones, as an Australian and as a Brit, we just love the taste of beer.
Like, yes.
If you can nail it alcohol-free, I'll drink it alcohol-free.
The alcohol-free Guinness is fucking outstanding.
Yeah, exactly. If it tastes like Guinness, then
exactly.
It's a fart.
But I'd be interested to have it over here as opposed because, funnily enough, we were talking about it last night, that Guinness doesn't travel well and opposed to the one that you get in Dublin to over here.
It is a fucking lame thing to say, but it really is better.
Yeah.
It really fucking is. It's like getting a haggis in Scotland. It's so much better.
But yeah, the meds didn't really have, they kind of had side effects. I guess it kind of played into the whole mild depression at the beginning of just losing all my fucking hair and everything. It was just like decreased sex drive for a hot minute, but that's
like every fucking medication on earth.
Pretty much. It's pretty crazy that it's, that's probably the longest playing, I guess, side effect of the whole thing.
You ever get on the boner pills?
No.
I'm kind of on the boner pills at the moment. I'm fucking 35. Not that my dick's not working, but I got them to, someone told me, because I'm going through like a mild, I used to drink every day, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm going through like a mild sober phase where I'm like, I'll drink at an event.
Yeah.
Because I'm at home. I'm on tour, I drink every day because I need to get through the tour.
Absolutely.
So kudos to you for not doing that.
Yeah,
but now I'm in my like experimental health drug stage where I'm like, well, my brain needs to take drugs, but what if I just make them like ones that can help with things? And then I'm like, I'm also, this is going to get too personal. So basically there's a side effect, a positive, there's a boner pill, which has A, gym benefits.
Yeah.
But B, it has benefits for a part of the man's anatomy that is prone to getting cancer, right?
Ah.
Which runs in my family.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, and it's like, there's studies of it being like preventative or whatever. And I was like, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? I'm going to get loads of boners.
So it's like
taking it like a couple of times a week before the gym. Get mad pumps in the gym and then mad boner pumps as well. So I'm like, I'll tell you what, I'll chuck you some. And
tell you what, I'll let you know how I go.
It might fucking work. Anyway, enough about my boner pills. Imagine if I had one of the boner pill sponsors as well. That'd be perfect. Oh, boner pill companies. I'm using your shit. Give me your shit. Right? And if before anyone thinks it emasculates me, the boners were fine. Now it's like you've got a 1.8 petrol engine. It's fine. Guess you've made a B. Turbocharge. Would you like to do a dream festival?
I'd love to do a dream
festival. Do we need to plug anything else? What you got? Are you working on another album?
We are. We're working on the record now. So basically, we're doing some bits and bobs over here after the tour's wrapped up, after the headliners. So just a bit of extra work on the new material. And yeah, it's all like surprise, surprise stuff for now. But yeah, there'll be music this year.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll do. We've done boners. We've done the... Oh shit, we should probably say you can buy that.
You can buy it. And we'll have it at the merch desk on this tour.
Really?
Mm.
Now, you don't have to answer this. Do you know if my cut, I still get that from the ones that you sell at merch? Because I'm on a per unit. I don't know if you know this.
Kate Lawrence, if you're watching, please reply to my DMs.
Are you finding that out?
I'm going to find that out after this podcast.
they are limited, but I'm on a, if you want to support the podcast, I'm on a sort of, a little split of this. I don't know if Jack actually knew.
I did.
But I'm on a little split. Hopefully the ones from the merch stand sell out before. No, we don't want that. We want the people from the podcast to be able to buy it.
That's it. I mean, there's only a limited amount we've got in the van. And we sold out of the normal ones. So that's all I've got. Funnily enough, at the merch desk the other night, I went to grab one and I'm like, oh, can't put that out.
I mean, you can.
Yeah, I probably could have. I do like money.
But this, yeah, I love it.
It's good.
I live in the world. I'm sorry. All right, that's a plug. We're done. It's not a professional fucking thing. Dream Festival.
Dream Fest.
I'm going to talk you through it. Have you pre-thought of this?
I haven't really, but I've got a Dream Festival in my head anyway. Okay.
Don't say a fuck. Now you've thought of it. I love it when someone...
It's got to help you.
It's people's favourite part of the podcast, and I'm starting to think that people want to come here to do their Dream Festival. My dream, my dream podcast is that people come.
Mm-hmm.
We do about half the amount of time that we did. Yes. Which is not like I didn't have a bad time. Thank you. But then just for ease, so on Friday, I'm doing someone I've never met before.
Yeah.
In fact, I cancelled it, but I was doing someone I've never met before. Massive person.
Oh, right.
I'll tell you who it was. It was Frankie Arrow. Right.
That's pretty good. That would have been nice.
Yeah, but two issues with it.
Oh.
Got an email saying you're not allowed to mention My Chemical Romance. And I was a bit like...
That's a big catch. It's hard. I
don't know what I would say because I'm not like a MTR fan.
Yeah.
But then also, what do you mean I can't mention it?
It's a big part of
it. If something comes up and I go,
And it's not like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to go oi, what about fucking Gerard? Is he cool? I don't... does it look like I fucking care? Obviously appreciate what I've done. Anyway, but then it was a whole thing where it was they've got to be in and out in an hour.
Yeah.
Right. So if the Dream Festival was the main event,
mm-hmm.
if for some reason this gets back to him, I do really want you here, but I was told by the press agent I've only got an hour, including travel. So if it was a Dream Festival was the main event, exactly, then they could come in, boom, Dream Festival, leave. But currently, people like a little chat. We had a little Jakarta chat. We had an alopecia chat. We had a boner chat.
The whole shebang.
And then now we get the Dream Fest.
Yeah.
Then you go to Edinburgh. You have a lovely time.
Exactly.
To not drink whiskey. I'm trying to think what you could do.
Not much.
Castle.
I wouldn't mind a Buckfast while I'm here, but that's the only problem.
Oh, no, you can't. That would be... It's blood clot central.
It is, isn't it?
Designed to give you a brain clot. Okay, Dream Festival. We're going to go. I'm going to talk you through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come from one of my favourite parts of the world, and my Dream Festival would be in Melbourne. But where is your Dream Festival going to be located?
It would be in Australia.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Melbourne too. Just to have...
Do you live in Melbourne?
Yes, live in Melbourne.
Awesome.
It's best. Unbiased best.
Are you at home without leaking anything? Mm-hmm. I'm about to leak anything. I'm about to leak something. Are you at home in May? Or are you on tour?
We are at... Yeah, we're at home in May.
I might see you.
Amazing.
I might see you.
I think I've heard. Yes. Cool. Very good.
So you're in Melbourne?
Yeah.
What time of year?
Time of year, it would be not hot summer. Well, at the moment, who fucking knows when that is? It's been very turbulent in Melbourne at the moment, but probably a November. Yeah, November festival in Melbourne. It would have to be in a location. I don't want to do just a regular run-in-the-mill location. How dream is this? How dream festival is this? Is Freddy Krueger on the guest list?
Will Putney's... audience was dogs. Insane.
All right, it's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, fair go.
So if you're doing it...
It's going to be probably... I'd love to do an arena festival just because, our version of arena is the Melbourne Cricket Ground. It's probably the biggest shebang there, but you've got the whole... Outside is a whole kind of... I don't know. It's not like Wembley here. You've got... It kind of is, actually. You've just got the surrounds that you could open up. Pop-ups all around.
Oh, okay.
You could have the main stage inside the arena and then everything on the outside. And
does anything of this just play into the fact that you won't have to travel very far? Why it's Melbourne?
And friends.
Weather's pretty good. Yeah. Friends are pretty good. That's okay.
I think I'd love to see family and friends there. So that's definitely part of that.
What's catering?
Catering is... Are you vegan diet or anything? Or?
And I've done it before, mm-hmm. done it for 6 months.
Have you ever heard of Smith & Daughters in Melbourne? Catering is Smith & Daughters. Shannon Martinez is cooking the whole fucking plate.
Fuck yeah.
She's whipping up, she's bringing the whole deli. It's just all catered and bloody is it home
like,
designed.
Is it like, I can't remember what it is. Is it like fucking meat? Like
yeah.
bougie so, butcher style meat, but
essentially.
Vegan.
So she's, I think she's not even veg. Like the her partner, I think it's Mo Wise in the business, is the vegan one. And she just adapts her recipes from a meat eater's point of view. And she just whips up the most insane dishes that I've ever had. And now it's like the most bougie restaurant you can go to for vegan stuff in Melbourne. It's an awesome experience. You just pay per head and they kind of just put it in front of you and you go nuts.
Fuck yeah.
And I'd like that to be
vegan
at the festival. Yeah.
How long's that been?
7 years now. So yeah.
So you're not going to get him on the hair shit. Right. Oh, you should eat a fucking steak and then blah, blah, blah.
That's it.
Just preempting the fucking the YouTube comments. Still leave that comment though because the algorithm, okay?
It's
don't
good.
Be mean.
Yeah,
don't be
nice.
Fucking mean. All right. What's it called?
Smith & Daughters.
Smith & Daughters. I only said Smith & Wesson, but that's guns.
That's guns. Mm. And then Smith & Deli is the delicatessen version. So it's like all a... It's kind of like a New York kind of stuff.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Because I remember just getting like fucking sandwiches and shit from there.
It's the fucking best. It's so nice.
Right, they're doing catering. Well,
catering down
pat. Ideal drink situation then.
There'd be elk freeze, but I want everyone else to be. What I've really enjoyed about being sober is watching everyone else around me. Like, I've learned
you enjoy
I can still fucking love it. Because it just like makes you think, I can also get on that level just from... I don't know, being around good character and just happiness.
Oh, when someone's too drunk though and you're sober.
Yeah, not that.
Oh, it's the worst.
Then I just
when someone's
away.
Coked up and you're sober, it's fucking
that's the chew you rear off.
Unbearable.
Yeah, it's not great.
Just fucking relax.
I've got a come on. Got a terrible Europe bus story for you after. I won't name names.
Oh, but, what?
Yeah.
I can't have it with a name excluded. Don't say anything that you're going to ask me to edit out afterwards because I'm just not going to do it.
I can't say
it. There we go. The amount of people that do that, like, oh, can you edit that bit out?
I'll save the chop.
Thank you.
No, you're right.
The audience will be incredibly disappointed. Is there anything that you really, really, really miss that you can't get alcohol free? Because we can put that. So, currently, this is just a festival. There's no dream involved.
That's it. I mean, I love Bloody Marys, especially at a festival. You're waking up in the morning. If it's like, you know, like you've done a Unify festival in Australia.
Yeah, only once.
Is Download the same where you camp or no?
I mean, you can.
Yeah. But you wake up in the morning, get early to the festival the day after.
Yeah.
Have a drink first thing off the bat, Bloody Mary. Best.
Is there no alcohol-free Bloody Mary?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so we've got those on.
I'll hit Bloody Marys.
I'm sure if you put I'm sure it's not great for you, but like some bleach in a tomato juice.
Get some form of a
sauce.
Kick.
No, it'd be like that vodka, like. Taste. Don't do that. No one do that.
The alcohol-free vodka is pretty interesting too.
I think I'd draw the line on spirits. Like,
it's not.
Because I love a sugar-free drink. Like,
yeah.
Sugar-free mad drink. Like, yeah.
No, sugar-free Sprite.
Zucker-fry. The best is the fucking, I should get a fucking endorsement. The Coca-Cola freestyle machines.
Yeah.
Where you can just go Fanta fucking... strawberry, still zero sugar. Like, that's my... If I could have those everywhere, I reckon I could stop drinking.
Yeah.
The issue is everyone's just like, oh, Pepsi. Fucking Coca-Cola. I'm like...
This is a Zucker Fry festival. So
is yeah, it? Nice.
No sugar.
See, I love that. And I'll be that guy that gets... Like, yesterday I was that guy. I went to Five Guys and diet drink. And everyone's like, oh, you... No. It's fucking 800 less calories, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get wham. Fucking relax. Okay, Zucker Free Fest. We're in Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Mm-hmm.
So far, there's no dream.
It's about
Who's headlining?
Can they be? Is it dead or alive?
You can do whatever you want.
Can I gather the rights for Resurrection Fest from Spain?
It's called Resurrection Fest.
It is. And I'm just resurrecting all the bands all the people that I would have loved to see.
Okay. They never died?
Oh, no, they're dead.
They're dead, but they are reanimated.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like not to the point where it's like hologram and everyone knows. It's kind of like
the real person.
It's the real person.
We've designed a way to get them back.
Absolutely.
Okay, now we're in Dream Festival world.
Absolutely.
Because we had it before. I've had holograms.
Holograms aren't going to cut it for
me. And I've had Freddie Mercury never died in the first place. But I've never actually had
this is actually
risen from the grave.
Yeah, zombies. Like,
but are they zombied?
No, they're nice zombie. They're collected zombified.
So a slight, maybe the white balance is off. They're just
all they remember to do is perform.
Camera talk.
All they remember to do is perform.
Oh, wow. That's like the muscle memories there. Yeah. They've been,
that's, I imagine that would stick around when you're dead.
Human rights violation in that. There's no law for that.
This festival is going down after a year.
This is an A24 movie. okay. So who's headlining?
Prince.
Nice.
Yeah. I think... Yeah, I could go really ham on this. And you could just have Prince. You could have Bowie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it would be great. You could have Michael Hutchence in excess.
I feel like if they did develop this, arguably, you know, quite human rights violating, it's not even human rights, zombie rights violating technology, they would go all out with the first one.
Absolutely. You'd play all your cards.
Who knows if it... Yeah.
Yeah.
The fucking health committee is going to be like, you guys, we can't do this.
This is absolute one note only stuff.
Did you hear about Peter Steele biting someone? Okay. Okay, this isn't going to go well.
You'd have Keith Flint Prodigy.
Oh, wow.
It would be all up there.
It's quite a party fest. Oh, yeah, so sorry, the only rule is that Void of Vision are playing. So.
Oh, okay.
So
we'd open.
Yeah?
Yeah. Get it all out of the way, done and early. Actually.
What's your accommodation?
I'd like people to be there.
What's your accommodation?
Accommodation.
I should really learn to do this in the right order. So it should be location, catering, accommodation. Because you are playing. Where would you like to stay in regards to the festival?
I'd love wherever we do stay for... It would have to be just like... It's going to be too hard to get this in Melbourne. But basically we played a festival... last New Year's in a castle in a regional place in Australia with Parkway and Polaris, and it was magnificent. And I'd love for every artist to stay in the same castle, and then it's just absolute kick on and you get to meet Prince and you get to meet Bowie. I'm sure they wouldn't want to bar a Void of Vision, but...
It's your dream, so maybe they're fans.
I feel like even in my dream they'd hate me. But that's just...
So wait, are you staying in a castle now?
I think so. We'd fly down to Ballarat to Crail Castle. Private jet.
Private jet. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And we're actually still at the cricket ground.
Yeah.
Prince.
It's on the roof.
Prince, you're going to have to line this up for me.
Well, that's a hard line.
Yeah, you're going to have to do it. You can have two stages. You can have 2 days.
Two stages.
Yeah.
So Prince Bowie.
Nice.
INXS Prodigy.
Nice.
I wonder who else.
Crazy, because I like, Michael Hutchence can't, obviously you've told us that all he can do is remember to play the songs, but I'm sure someone's going to be annoyed at the fact they're not headlining because you've got all these people, it's a big deal, all these people coming back from the grave.
Oh, big time.
And everyone's like, well, wait a minute.
Actually, that's a good point.
I mean,
also,
no.
This after party would be terrible, just thinking about the only muscle memory. Bunch of zombies, and all they know is to perform.
The rest of the band are there.
Yeah.
And the actual...
The living members.
The living members, and then the zombies are...
They're kind of carrying their mate around like Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's, Weekend at Bowie's. R.I.P.
You
were a legend, yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Okay, who is... I need a smaller band. I guess you guys are a smaller band, so just
we
a
are.
Band that you're into, maybe more people need to know about.
I'm going to say Thornhill for the sake of plugging their GoFundMe right now because they just got $100,000 worth of gear stolen.
And if I
could possibly plug this on this podcast, this would be the time to do that.
Yeah, what happened? Give me a little...
So basically... They're good friends of ours, and I'm kind of getting at it as why I know this exact scenario. Basically, there's a giant warehouse that the drummer Ben's father sort of owns. It's a business, It's a giant fruit shop basically functioning out of there, and they've got a little sort of prac space involved in that giant headquarters. And basically there's a big and like kind of, I won't go too far into it, but there was a big fire. They'd caught the whole warehouse on fire. Only thing left untouched was their little prac space, this little brick building. And basically from the looks of it, it's a lot of these buildings that burned down in Melbourne, especially, it's not a great sort of area where it was. A lot of squatters sort of come in, and from the looks of it, they've just basically come across, and they couldn't access this place because it was a criminal investigation because of the fire. And it looks like basically some squatters have broken in and just stolen a bunch of their gear, literally all of their gear though.
They can't find it.
Yeah. And they're on tour with Architect in like a week in Australia, which is a...
That sucks. And it hasn't come up on eBay or anything like that.
No. So they keep an eye out, and there's that area. You've got cash converters here, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's generally where you see it pop in. But
they don't have any air tags or anything.
Well, that's the thing. They do. But I'm wondering if it's just on their gear for when they're flying and touring and they take it out.
Lesson for everyone. Air tag your fucking gear, even if it's in your practice room.
Saved our skin on this tour.
Did it?
Our guitars didn't leave Melbourne.
And you could see.
And we could see. They didn't believe us, but we could see.
I had the weirdest thing when I was moving house where I had AirTag found following, moving with you, and you could see the locations, and it was my old flat, my practice studio, and here.
Uh-huh.
And you could see the thing going. So someone had fucking tagged my car.
And no kidding.
I never found the tag.
Wow.
And I just sold that car because I couldn't find the fucking tag. That's not why I sold it, but I needed to sell it anyway. But
fair enough.
But it was weird.
That's fucking
weird. I don't know if it was the movers because they saw the shit and they wanted to see. But
that makes sense.
It was fucking, weird.
Fuck. Okay.
Very weird.
Damn.
So air tag your shit. Don't air tag other people's shit.
Yeah. That's it. And donate to Thornhill.
Donate to Thornhill. What is the after party?
The after party? Oh, jeez.
So this is your
flying straight to Berghain.
This is your dream. Oh,
straight to the Berghain for the debut.
Doing that sober.
Yeah.
You're going to see some shit.
That's it. I just feel like I just need to harness life before I can do that, essentially. I'd need to be the most comfortable I could be living real life to enter that building.
I think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to go next time we're in Berlin if it's kicking off.
Kind of quintessential, isn't it?
Kind of like, I feel like I owe it to myself.
You've earned a treat.
Fuck, it's just a disgusting little time out. I think
it
I
would
need
be
to,
fun.
I couldn't do it sober though, so
yeah.
Power
it's
to you,
interesting
bro.
Vibe.
I'll be fucked out my brains.
I don't think I wrote that song when I was sober too, so it didn't really translate in time. So it was probably a real primitive urge to kind of go to this venue prior, but I'm still fucking fascinated.
What's the track after it? Dominatrix is after it?
Yes.
On that?
Yeah.
What's the deal with Dominatrix?
It is what it is, essentially. Basically, yeah, Hornbag song. And
You ever go to Dominatrix?
No.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm a fucking psycho. But like, sometimes... I would say in my, let's see, now we'll get right to the end, the real deep cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I would say in my sexuality, I am, for the most part, dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
when
I'm feeling like a piece of shit, there's a little bit of switch in me where I'm like, I want someone to just fucking punch me in the fucking face and then peg me back to the real world.
Back
it's
into
very
reality.
Rare. It's when I'm right at the bottom and I'm like, I don't know what get me out of this. Someone just treating me like how I feel.
It's escapism, and at the end of the day, that's how it is.
Nice.
That's basically the song. Yeah.
Nice.
Sense of escapism.
Horny escapism. By the fucking, I think we've done it.
Yeah.
I've done the
festival, right? Yeah.
Done
after party's
the
wrap. We've finished the after party with the zombies.
We plugged Chronic.
Chronic.
The Chronic version,
the Chronic.
Which you can pick up, I guess. It'll be on UNFDs. I'll put it in the description on this. What you got coming up tour-wise that
we've
you
got,
can say? Don't say anything that... Remember, this goes out on, I think, February... I think maybe Valentine's Day.
Oh,
so
lovely.
Anything delicious.
We have...
Anything post then that you can...
Polaris 10-year anniversary tour in Australia.
10 fucking years. Mm. That band's been going for 10 years.
Crazy. And so have we.
How long have I been going? You are also new to me.
I know. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Oh my God, that this is depressing.
No, mate, it's going to be the whole future. All these bands, it's going to take so much longer to get off the ground.
Think about the next come up. Think about fucking all the other bands that come out of nowhere.
Think about Bad Omens. Like, how long do you reckon they would have been a band for?
3 years. How long have they been a band for?
It's not three. I think it's like reaching towards 10.
Really?
Potentially. I may be very wrong. Nah, but I think the you thing might is, be right. Like, it just takes a bit longer to kind of...
They are the biggest fucking band in the world.
Which is fucking crazy.
I got a lot of respect for all these bands that get massive. I kind of love it. I love again, like I'm saying about me getting fucking old and being like, I actually love to see younger people. I'm only 35. I'm on the fucking boner pills.
Only 35.
Here we go. Perfect. And I'm like, I see younger people getting really fucking like vehemently into a band. And I'm like, good for you. Good for the band and good for you.
It's awesome to see.
I'm pulling up this.
I'm curious to know how long.
Formed in 2015. So yeah, oh, crazy. 8 years.
There you go.
But formed by vocalist, frontman and producer Noah Sebastian. I didn't know he did all that.
Genius. Straight up genius.
I've talked with him. I think I've said one word to him. Very, a man of zero words. But I don't know if he was doing. I don't know if he was doing that. I'm a creepy
method acting
vampire man. Or I don't know if it's he was cool, saving though. His fucking voice because he's doing fucking Weekend and screaming. Mm. Or I don't know if he maybe just didn't like me. All of these are very real possibilities.
So much going. Yeah. So that Polaris tour is coming, and then Not Fest after that, the first one in Australia.
Whoa.
With Bad Omens as well, which will be a riot.
Do you know what? I've said this on the podcast. I got offered to do some shit there, I guess, the press.
For Australia?
Yeah, but I'm on tour. I'm in a transit van. Right, on a fucking European transit van tour with bunks. Instead of going to Australia for free to talk to people.
That's rough.
So annoying. I was really up for it.
It would have been nice.
I was,
but you'll be back.
I'll be honest with you. I was perhaps debating just doing it anyway. Yeah, and then we got offered Australia and I was like, oh, okay. Okay, at least I'm going to Australia for free.
That's it.
All right, we've covered me getting pegged. We've covered alopecia. We've covered boner pills. We've covered the Dream Festival. We've covered brain clots.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll probably edit a little bit out. For advertising reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll just have to imagine what we talked about there. Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I'd be able to, what's this ring? That's nice.
It's like some real stones here going on there.
It's fucking cool. Thanks for coming. Enjoy your show in Edinburgh.
Thank you, mate.
We'll check out Void of Vision.
Absolutely.
Buy a vinyl because it helps all of us.
That's it.
Goodbye.
Peace.